Welcome to A Day of Prayer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Together, let's engage in relationship with Christ through prayer, faith, and His Word.
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to A Day of Prayer's Morning Bible Study. My name is Layla and we're so happy to have you here with us. But before we get into the Word, we're going to take a moment and pray. Lord, we thank you for today and we thank you for everything that you've done for us, Lord. The wisdom that you've given us, the knowledge and the understanding, Lord. We thank you that you've always been here to help us and that you tell us the truth, Lord, and you show us things to come. We ask that you'll minister to us our needs this morning, Lord, and that you will continue to be who you are. And we thank you for everything, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. We're so glad to have you with us as we continue to dive into the Word and our study in the book of James. This morning we are in chapter 2 and covering the verses 1 through 9. So whether you're joining us for the first time or rejoining us, I want to encourage you to take a moment and pause the episode and read through that section of Scripture to make things easier to follow along in the discussion. Amen?
Amen.
All right, and at this time the floor is open to give each of you the opportunity to share what Holy Spirit is speaking and ministering to you, and to ask any questions that you have. So who'd like to begin?
I would.
All right, honey.
I think in the last episode, we were kind of just closing with the thought that God isn't against rich people. He's not against people that have wealth, because if you look back in Genesis, God made Abraham rich.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's not that he is opposed to that, but I think he's just looking at our heart on the matter. What are your motives behind how you treat people? Do you look at this one and see that they're dirty and then your heart gets hardened and you're, you know, angered towards them, and then you think they're less of a human being, they're less loved by God because of their circumstance, and then you treat them poorly? Or you look at someone who has natural wealth or natural means, and they look like they've achieved something. They look to you like they must know, they must be more important because they're wearing fine apparels, which obviously must be a signature that God has approved them. And I'm adding that emphasis because that's not accurate. Mm-hmm. And then you treat that person better. God is saying you're making yourself a judge of that person because you're looking at outward appearances. So God has no problems with people having natural wealth, and he doesn't love people more because they're poor. I mean, neither one of those are true. God does not have a problem with people having natural wealth, right? And you're not entitled to more love because you're poor. God loves everyone equally. Even when you look at how he talked about the temple tax back in when the law was being given, it was the same for everybody. Mm-hmm. Not charge this one more because he looks like he has more, or charge this one less because it looks like they can't do it. There's one measure, one metric, and that's the heart of God. He loves us all equally. And if he loves us with the same love that he loved Jesus Christ, well, there would be the obvious, like, you know, we could understand there being a disparity there. And he doesn't even make a distinction to go, I love Jesus more than you. He loves us with the same love that Amen. He loves his only begotten, perfect, sinless son, who is now the firstborn of many brethren. So we should have the same heart and attitude.
Amen.
Well, Mommy, it's interesting that you brought up the first begotten son, and the Lord brought me to John 15, where it's talking about love and how Jesus told his disciples that he no longer called them servants, but more so friends.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to what you were saying, Mommy, you were talking about how that the Lord doesn't love us more based on our monetary value or what people place on us. It's more so about our relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that God doesn't love the people equally. It's whether or not we love God completely and how much we're willing to go forward with him. And, yes.
Verse 15.
Thank you, Layla. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. And there you have it. And oftentimes as Christians, we mistake in our mind as, based on how we look on the outside, God must put some value on how we look. And in the previous episode, I had mentioned that the rich were the Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes during that time, and how it wasn't necessarily that they were rich, it was how they went about with their wealth. In Matthew 25, it talks about how they delighted in greetings and how they delighted in being acknowledged above how they should have been. And going to Acts, talking about Herod, how when the people started shouting about how it was the voice of a god and not of a man, mm-hmm. however we know that's not true, it was because he did not give glory to God. So instead of both of these situations, we should be constantly giving glory to the Lord, no matter what we see or how we look on the outside. And it is especially important for us to understand that, because the Lord is not basing our value based on how we think of ourselves. Mm-hmm. Because God loves everybody equally, it's more so how we are able to exhibit the gifts of God is more so based on what we apply, not necessarily how much God loves us, and also what God has given us. Mark talks about how everybody is given a measure of faith, and how with that faith, they're supposed to do what God has told them to do. And also, Proverbs 30, we see this throughout Scripture, how there's a specific destiny for a people, and how it's not, God does not want us to try to obtain something else, because we see inside of James 4, I'm not going to read it, but it talks about how that you're asking amiss, so you can do what you think you want to do with it, or because you want to, this is me paraphrasing, and it being paired with this new set, with this section of Scripture, because you're too busy focused on the natural rather than the spiritual. And I'm not sure what this is, but it talks about how that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ, and also how we have the mind of Christ. And as a result, we should be seeing things from his perspective, not from what we think his perspective is, which automatically means we must be coming to him in order for him to formulate our perspective.
Okay. No, there's a couple of components that seem to be all kind of mixed together here. And it's just because of how we think as humans. God loves everyone.
Amen.
Period. Right? John 3:16 says it so easily. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we've also talked about that he causes it to rain on the just and the unjust alike. He loves everyone, and he gave everyone the equal opportunity to accept Christ and to be saved. Right? Yes. So it's not a matter of God's love per se, but then there's a level of, because he's already demonstrated to the utmost ability how much he loves everyone. And he wants everyone to have an opportunity to turn back and not be condemned, right? He takes no pleasure when someone dies in their sin or when they are eternally separated from him. He takes no pleasure in that. So the love component of God is not in question per se, but then there's the aspect of acceptance and approval. Acceptance by God comes when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, right? That's what allows us to be received into the family of God. He loves us, whether we're sinning like the Dickens or not. His love for us does not change. He still has wide open arms saying, hey, come to me. I love you, right? But we don't receive that acceptance until we come through the door, who is the Son. Right? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father except by him, through Jesus Christ. But then there's a matter of approval by God, right? Which is a reference to what you were talking about when you ask amiss. Because just because someone is accepted in the beloved, right? So scripture says we're accepted in the beloved, doesn't mean that their actions are approved by God. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Loved, accepted, and approved are all different aspects. They're similar and they're related because you need one to get to the other, but they're not always intrinsic or if you get one, you have the other. That's not always the case. So what he's talking about here in this partiality is deciding someone's approval and acceptance by God based on how they look on the outside. You look good, so that means God has accepted you. And you look good, so that means God has approved of what you're doing or not doing. Or you look this way or the other. So I hope that doesn't sound too complicated, but they are different components. We are accepted in the beloved. When we come in, God has gotten his arms around us and we're in the kingdom of God, right? But just because you have received salvation doesn't mean that you're acting in a way that's approved by God, right? You can get saved and never obey another thing that God says to you. Never tune your ears to even know that he's talking, right?
Yes.
Okay. So what the Lord wants from us is to understand his heart, but understand his nature, and even understand how to separate those things in our minds so we can clarify our motives and our walking with the Lord, because this is what he's looking at. It's not for God to come down to where we are and understand us. It's for us to understand him, because he already understands the ins and outs of humanity. He's already made that clear. But it's we who do not understand the ways of God. So as we're looking at this, you know, just keeping those, God loves us. The love is not a question. But whether you're accepted in Christ, whether you've come to him to be accepted, and then further, whether or not you're approved. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say very quickly before I dive into what the Lord was sharing with me, promise the scripture you're looking for is 1 Timothy 1:7 about the strong mind of love and power. But something that the Lord reminded me of that you and Dad tell me often about, even just amongst us and concerning love, there's no favorites because of what that does to the people that are experiencing that. You look at the trouble that Jacob had in his life because he was playing favorites. He favored Rachel, hated Leah. That's down to a core. That's what it was. He loved Joseph, and I guess he on some level he loved his other sons, but he had favorites. And was it Isaac and Rachel?
So what you're saying is there's no favorites in the kingdom of God.
Exactly. And that's
he doesn't love one and then hate the other.
Correct. Or he doesn't love us all and love one more than the rest. Mm-hmm. And that goes to partiality. You see that with Isaac and Rachel, with Jacob and Esau. Rachel loved Jacob, mm-hmm. and Isaac loved Esau. And what it caused between the two brothers was strife and bitterness. And they were, well, Esau was ready to kill Jacob. And they were struggling with each other. So anytime we look at the word and look at what the Lord is doing, just because one person is blessed with something you desire or someone has earned a reward doesn't now mean that you're lesser in the kingdom of heaven. In Corinthians, it said when one part of the body is glorified, the rest of it rejoices with it. Amen. And when they mourn, the rest of them comes and comforts that part that is in distress and that is struggling. That's what we're
saying. The whole body feels the pain and suffers when one part of it is in pain. Think about a stubbed toe.
Oh.
I mean, all of you is concerned when you stub that toe. Your eyes are looking at it. Your hands are touching it. Your head is going, oh, that hurts. How do I fix it? The whole body, your entire body is concerned about that stubbed pinky toe, the littlest part of your body that you mostly don't notice unless something's wrong with it.
You notice it clearly at that point, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's unmistakable. What else do we tell you, though, pertaining to love?
Well,
and how you experience it.
Everybody gets the same amount of love, but how you experience it is up to you. If you spend the time, as you said, Mommy, the Lord gave you grace. If you spend it being dug out of the same pit, well, doesn't mean the Lord loves you less. It just meant you wanted to spend his love getting you out of the same hole. Mm-hmm. Likewise for us, we have a choice. Are we going to experience God's love and he just pile on the blessings like he said he would in Deuteronomy 28? Or are we going to spend his love getting us out of the trouble we cause for ourselves, also listed in Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26, because we decided we were going to depart from him? That is up to us, and we can't get mad at anybody else when we experience the latter, as in the poor part of it, and not the former, because we departed. See, and mm-hmm. even in that statement, it's not the Lord departing from you. He said he'd never leave you or forsake you. It's not mm-hmm. him going, well, I'm taking my blessings back because I don't like you. You didn't do mm-hmm. what I wanted you to do. You said, Lord, I don't want your blessings. I want the trouble the devil has to offer. So I'm going to go over there, and that's what I want. And that's what you're going to get. You get what you want.
So just to make it clear for all the listeners, right? Everyone receives the same amount of love. The same love, the same amount of love. How you experience that love is what we say in our household. You know, you'll have to, mm-hmm. you please, you know, feel free to apply this to your household, right, and your life. But, you know, or you can choose to figure it out on your own in anything. Lead as the Lord, or follow as the Lord is leading you, right? Don't follow us, follow the Lord.
Amen.
Now, with that... And I'll bring this up back to here. They talk about differences, right? And this is in James chapter 2, right? Verse 4. He says, when you do these things, right? The mention of verse 3. Have you not shown partiality amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? But then you get down to verse 8. And he says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. Right?
Yes.
So, promise, you brought up in John 15, right?
Yeah.
From verse 15, where he says, I don't call you servants, right? Because the servant doesn't know what his master's doing, but I call you friends. And then he continues there, right? You didn't choose me. I chose you. I called you that you'd go bear fruit, right? And then in verse 17, he says, these things I command you, that you love one another. And actually, he says that multiple times in this, right? But then in verse 18, Jesus begins discussing the world and the world's treatment of Jesus and his disciples, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's understand this. Who's our neighbor?
Everyone.
Everyone the Lord places in our path. That's our neighbor. Not just Christians or believers, right? And I'll say not just those that are opposed to him. Not just those that live in our community. Right? It is. Everyone is our neighbor. And we're required to all show them the same love. Now, love does no harm to a neighbor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Love gives or ministers to their needs what is needed in that moment, right? So when we say, like in this household, everyone gets the same amount of love. How you experience that love is dependent upon you, right? Means, I'll say it in this way. So if you are just rocking it out and doing everything that is required of you that you've been made responsible for and all that, right? If you will, we could reward that. We could acknowledge, hey, you're doing a great job.
You move from being just loved to being accepted to being approved.
Right. So, and you see that.
You're supposed to be doing.
Thank you, mm-hmm. honey. And you see that example with the 12, well, I'll say the 11 out of the 12, right?
Right.
They remained with Christ. And he's having that conversation with 11 of them here in John 15, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a stark difference from in John chapter 6, where many struggled with what he said and chose to leave. Mm-hmm. They did not remain. Now, they were all treated and shown the same kind of love,
mm-hmm.
but they chose to depart from it.
Mm-hmm.
And then here in John 15, starting in verse 18, he's talking about people actually hating our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ,
mm-hmm.
because they hate the Father. And as a result of their hatred towards him and the Father, they're also going to hate his disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, we're still called to show, to demonstrate to them the same kind of love. And mm-hmm. well... we'll just take again back to our family. If you are in opposition, if you are actively opposing and not doing the things that are required, discipline has to follow, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And there's different mm-hmm. levels and stages of progression of that, right? Starts off with conversations. There's many conversations, right? And then it progresses as required, as needed, right? Yes. But is that still not a demonstration of love? Mm-hmm. Because it provides what's needed to help bring you back in to the fold, as it were, right? And to function as the Lord had intended and designed you to function. Also giving you the opportunity to learn other roles and responsibilities in the household for when you need to manage your own household. Does that everybody understand that?
Yes.
Okay. There's a lot in there. So we'll just give everybody a minute to just search out the scripture and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you on that. Because all of that is a demonstration of love. Providing what everyone needs in the moment that they need it. And there's also grace built in and mercy. Rest assured, that's one of the things Holy Spirit's for, right? To minister to each one their needs. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, let's pause there for today. Can I get a volunteer to close us out in prayer, please?
I will.
All right, Layla.
Lord, we thank you for today, and we thank you for the time you spent with us in your word this morning. Lord, we thank you for giving us understanding to know your heart, Lord, and what it is that you desire, Lord, what you're after. Lord, we thank you for equipping us with strength, with soundness, Lord, and with the ability to do everything that you've asked us to do, Lord. We ask that you bless our partners and listeners, Lord. Give them peace through their day, Lord. Give them favor with their coworkers, their fellow employees, their employers, Lord. Cause them to excel and be blessed, Lord. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Oh, we love you. God bless you. And have a wonderful day.
Want to know more about A Day of Prayer?
Sign up for our newsletter where you'll get the latest updates on the ministry, inspiring messages, and coupon codes for the merch shop.
Visit our website, adayofprayer.org.
Click on Connect in the menu bar and complete the form.
Be sure to check the box that says Subscribe.
Thank you for listening to A Day of Prayer. We trust the Lord that you are strengthened and encouraged in your relationship with Christ. Visit us on our website, adayofprayer.org, where you can check out our blog, find additional study resources, or shop the official A Day of Prayer store.
Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So until next time, take care and God bless you.